She's back! Biden's disinformation czar attacks the United States in Europe.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Will Haynes joining me in studio. CeCe Heil joining us later. Rick Grinnell's going to join us later. Jam-packed show. We're going to talk about the work of the ACLJ. But of course, the breaking news item of the day is, guess who's back? Back again. Jankiewicz is back. That's right. Your favorite former disinformation czar is making her case once again, but this time in front of the European Union, taking her anti-American rhetoric all the way to the blue and gold, if you will. And that is happening right now. When did this happen? Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday. She was out there. And again, I asked you, Will, during prep, I go, why is she even allowed to do this? What's happening here? Who is she representing? And of course, making some pretty egregious statements. We're going to play some short form, some long form. Let's have a little fun today.
That's right. So she, after leaving government service, started kind of working with European countries, with the UK, so formerly European country, EU member, but starting to move her project of this disinformation board, this kind of stuff, which she was the expert on. It's why she was picked by Alejandro Mayorkas and the Biden team to even have that position here. But she took her talents to Europe, as they say, to loosely paraphrase LeBron James. But she was testifying before the European Parliament Special Committee on the European Democracy Shield. It was a hearing to discuss Russia's disinformation campaigns, cyber attacks, espionage, and other hybrid threats targeting Europe. But while she was there to talk about Russia, she couldn't help herself but say this before getting into talking about Russia. Let's roll clip number 13.
And so before I describe the details of Russia's recent online influence campaigns, I would like to call upon you to stand firm against another autocracy, the United States of America.
So calling out specifically the United States of America, we got a lot more content to show from that. You know, the lighting is interesting in that because she was a member of a Wizard Rock Harry Potter themed band.
Right.
The Moaning Myrtles. And she actually kind of looks like Moaning Myrtle
ghostly
in there. A little ghostly. Now, I don't think that was on her. I think that's the lighting in the building. So I don't want to say, yeah, I'm not shaming anybody here. But just know that that is not, don't adjust your television, as they used to say.
Don't adjust your television. That is exactly how it was supposed to look in the European Parliament, which is a little scary in and of itself that they don't have better cameras.
Yeah, I liked the European Parliament more when the UK was there, and you'd have Nigel Farage like going crazy, having some fun. Phone lines are open for you. What do you think about this? What do you think about our own American citizens going over and doing this, making these moments? I mean, this is someone who worked for President Biden, making these statements in front of the European Union saying, hey, America, what was the word, Will? An autocracy. We have to stand firm against another autocracy, the United States of America. Who made autocracy a bad word? That's what I want to know. 1-800-68-
Yesterday it's oligarchy, today it's autocracy.
It's just these big words. Y'all use a lot of big words here on this show. I have to start Googling. I'm glad I have a screen in front of me that tells me what is coming up. Also, by the way, a little bit later, we're going to discuss the work of the ACLJ, what's going on, because right now, you may have known about those really vicious attacks happening against Christians in Congo, in the DRC. We're going to discuss at length a little bit later what you can do to help and what the ACLJ is doing. So stay tuned for that. Also, we only got 8 days left in our Life and Liberty Drive. That's right. So I'm going to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. Your donations are doubled right now. When you hear someone like Nita Jankiewicz rallying Europe against America, it is important, more important than ever, than to help defend these attempts to root out the corruption that is happening in Washington, D.C. They are trying their best, but of course, the swamp is still readily available to the world stage. So I want you to join us right now. We got a lot going on. We're going to continue this discussion. We're fighting it back on so many different levels. But there's also only 8 days left in our Life and Liberty Drive. This is the time to have your donations doubled. So please consider donating now. Go to ACLJ.org. Scan that QR code that you see on the screen right now if you are watching. And if you're watching on YouTube, I encourage you to hit that thumbs up and throw a comment. Let me know where you're watching from. Because that's going to help get this into more people's feeds, and we need your help to do that. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you as well. I didn't say that. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. As former Biden czar, disinformation czar, maybe we need to give people a bit of background to remember what that was. There was a brief moment in time where they had developed essentially a department of disinformation, if you will. What did they call it? The Ministry of Magic.
The Ministry of Magic. No, that was related to the band she was in.
Ministry of something, right?
Ministry of Truth was the phrase that was given to it because it felt very Orwellian.
Yeah,
it was
very
called,
umbridgey, if you will.
It was very specifically called the Disinformation Governance Board. This would have been inside the Department of Homeland Security. And when it became public, there was a lot of outcry over it, thinking that, especially them planning ahead towards an election, saying they're going to be policing speech. They tried to push back and say, no, we're just giving guidelines and recommendations. We won't actually be policing anything. But we immediately filed a FOIA request to try to get to the bottom of this. And things that we even received from that showed that Alejandro Mayorkas misled Congress. He was saying there's no records on this because it hasn't even started its work yet. However, we knew that they were having periodic meetings, like weekly meetings about the formation and the things that they would be addressing.
Look, in the time that felt very on brand of what was happening. I mean, look what was going on. Everyone was getting flagged and hit with disinformation, misinformation on social media. It was happening all over the place. We know now that the administration was always in talks with Facebook and with other outlets, with Meta, to try to get them to censor information directly. And at some point, even Mark Zuckerberg was like, enough is enough. So we know that this was happening. It's not like this is some shocking moment. The thing is that these people can't seem to go away. They come back and they always make America their enemy.
Well, and here's part of the problem as well. Now, this FOIA lawsuit is still ongoing. We have another production from the government that is supposed to happen April 30th, so just a week away. And now that there's a new administration, hopefully they will be more friendly about giving us the documents about what was really going on. Because when you hear the speech now from Nina Jankowicz, and you know the things that she talked about, the flashbacks of, you know, there's awful but lawful speech that we have to get rid of,
that
it's like things that are allowed but they shouldn't be kind of nature of these. Now we hear what she is willing to go say to the Europeans about her own country, calling it an autocracy. Now, this is a country that just had a free and fair election back in November, and the person she is referring to as an autocrat has only been in office for a couple of months. So I think before you go full, it's an autocracy, you should at least give it time before saying, oh, that free and fair election had nothing to do with anything because this is an autocrat. But here's the full context, because this hearing was supposed to be about Russia, and she's making it all about America being the bad guys here. It is America enabling all this terrible stuff that's going on in the world. And we played the short version, but let's hear the full clip. This is clip 4 from Nina Jankowicz testifying before European Parliament, urging them to stand strong against her own nation, Bite 4.
And so before I describe the details of Russia's recent online influence campaigns, I would like to call upon you to stand firm against another autocracy, the United States of America. The Trump administration is undoubtedly preparing a pressure campaign to force EU institutions to roll back regulation like the DSA, to end support for Ukraine, to stop holding Russia to account. Do not capitulate. Hold the line. Doing so is the clearest signal the European Union could send to Russia and other adversaries that it will not stop fighting to preserve democracy at home and around the world. The Russian Federation, of course, is thrilled to witness division within and between democracies. Moscow continues to actively exploit deepening fissures in our societies in order to amplify discord and polarization.
She talks about discord and polarization and fissures in our society.
As if that's a bad thing.
But do you think that maybe discord and polarization is going to Europe as an American and calling the United States of America an autocracy?
Yeah.
I mean, the hypocrisy there.
The hypocrisy of the hypocrisy.
It is unbelievable.
Yes, it is. I mean, we can joke around and laugh about this because it just feels ridiculous. And of course, it has to come from somebody who has such a proven track record of being a part of just the massive problem that we had in this country where free speech was under such extreme attack. So much so, by the way, that the organizations they wanted to work with that misinformation, disinformation board, pretty liberal organizations, started pushing back aggressively. Whether that was on, obviously, Elon bought Twitter and made it X. You had Mark Zuckerberg get a little, woken up by what they were doing, because it became to the point where he even felt like his company was being controlled by the government, where they were having to first be, you know, little good soldiers and help out. And then they had to be turned. They had to eventually turn on him because they said, you know what, you're going too far. If someone shares a joke or a meme, we're not going to shut it down because it's not your political point of view. But she goes there to the EU. On behalf of who, really? I mean, on behalf of her organization, to spread this American hatred to a board of people that, again, right now is not the time when we need that happening.
And when you look at this and you see all of what is going on at home, and you see the way that the left is mobilizing against the president and against the country and the agenda of the Trump administration, and you see the fight oligarchy. So we're an oligarchy as well as an autocracy currently, depending on if you're listening to AOC or Nina Jankowicz. But you get to the bottom of this and you realize, here's why you have to be vigilant and keep an eye on the rhetoric that continues against the United States of America by United States citizens, is because she was appointed to a very high level within the Department of Homeland Security. That's why we have to keep fighting to find out what was already happening, what steps were being taken, what was discussed in these meetings. We need to get to the bottom of that. That's why this April 30th date is so important for our FOIA team. Because if you just let it go away and be like, we won, they were gone. We won on that issue because they didn't finish the board. It got disbanded. We won in November against the radical left pushing against free speech by an election. These people don't go away. They wait. They have patience. They go to Europe and they spread, hey, America's an autocracy, so you got to stand up against my country. And then you think about how the Biden administration were all holdovers, effectively, from the Obama years. These people don't go away. They wait. And when they get an opportunity, because they feel like they have a mandate, even though they say President Trump has no mandate, they certainly, if they get reelected, will have a mandate. And you will hear that. We have a mandate to stop President Trump and his agenda. They'll go back to people like this. People that are completely fine going to Europe and calling the United States an autocracy and telling Europe to stand up, to hold firm, and not let America do what America needs to do. And she talks about even that the rollback regulation like the DSA. That is a very large tool the European Union is using to try and censor speech. She's saying, don't let Trump pressure you to roll back free speech censorship regulations that they have. Yeah. Everything that her organization does mindset is about censorship.
It's a real issue because, like, Rumble, for example, which I know a lot of you are watching on right now, not available in some countries right now because they have just said, you know what? It's an open forum. It's a free speech forum. Whatever's on there is on there. You do have things like the Russian television networks and those that do run on there. But it's giving an open forum to have these discussions, and they don't like that. Now, there are obviously workarounds, and a lot of you watch on Rumble or other places throughout the country. But just in general, that is the kind of disinformation push that they're saying. It's not that they don't want actual falsities, you know, stopped. It's they don't want your point of view being shared, or honestly, people's point of view that you may not agree with, but they don't agree with. Let's go to Ronald. We got a minute and a half. Yeah, let's go to Ronald, South Carolina, real quick. Ronald, watching on Rumble, you're on the air.
Yes, enjoying the show today. And the only comment I wanted to make was concerning Wurzelwitz. I forgot her name, actually. But anyway, the point was the fact, what authority did she have to go over there and get into the EU and literally trying to short-circuit Biden, Trump's policy plans?
I'm going to cut you off because we're running out of time. But that was the first question I asked in our meeting today is, in what world is she doing this?
Well, because she was made and purports to be this expert on disinformation, which is the left's favorite thing. And the EU invited people to speak at this hearing, trying to talk about Russia, but she made it about the United States.
Hey, look, right now, I encourage you, if you're watching online, I want you to, especially if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up. Throw a comment in there right now. I don't care what it is. If you want to send in the clowns, let's send in those clowns. Because right now, when you have these kind of topics, we know what happens. Sometimes they don't get served as well. So we want to make sure more people see this. So comment and throw in a like, a little thumbs up. That really helps more than you know. And of course, if you want to go above and beyond, we've got a few days left in our Life and Liberty Drive. Be a part of it. Your donations are doubled. In our next segment, we're going to hit hard content, you know, what's going on in Congo and how we're getting involved. And of course, as I said yesterday with our life segment, it can get pretty brutal. So I just want a fair warning to you if you're listening with your kids in the car, whatever it is. We're going to talk about some pretty intense topics coming up right after this. Welcome back to Seculo, senior attorney here at the ACLJ, Cece Hiles joining us. And I know a lot of you have found what's going on in the Congo disturbing. And I know a lot of you are reacting. We're able to see, obviously, in the numbers of when we send out an email or when we post about it online, we're able to see how people react. And we know this is something you care about. And of course, like I told you before we went to break, if you're listening with small children, this can get pretty intense, this topic. Because unlike Christian persecution that you may hear about in this country, whether that's things that we have to get involved in, that church on the beach in California, or you hear about someone who can't pray publicly, or all of these issues that come up. Though those are incredibly important, and we are there always for them, they can sometimes warp your mind of what Christian persecution is. And we're talking about the Congo, you know, Christians being murdered for their faith. And that's happening right now in this world that we live in. And of course, the ACLJ has to figure out how to respond and how to get involved. And we have found out at least one of our first steps we can take.
Yes. So at the United Nations, the special rapporteur on the human rights for internally displaced persons, what we call IDPs. So these are people that have had to move out of where they live because of war that's going on or because of even natural disasters. But this special rapporteur is actually doing an in-country visit to the Democratic Republic of the Congo at the end of May. So she has called for input from NGOs on what questions she should be asking, what she should be looking for, and just specific kind of on-the-ground information. So we are responding to her call for action, and we have put together a report. We have worked with our on-the-ground source, Africa New Day, which is a Christian nonprofit right there in Eastern DRC, which is the area where all of this turmoil is going on. And we're able to then tell in this report to the special rapporteur that there are 7.3 million IDPs, internally displaced persons, currently within the DRC. And this is in a location that our on-the-ground nonprofit that we work with, it's right there where they work. So we are able to give specific information. But we're also able to call to the special rapporteur's attention. What's going on there in the Congo? It's a very mineral-rich area. And so there are a lot of factions that are fighting for it. There's over 100 militias operating in the Congo. Currently, the Congolese government is just not strong enough to be able to handle all of this. And so we are giving, again, specific recommendations of what needs to happen to protect these people and call to the attention what happened when ADF, which is the ISIS-based group from Uganda, coming over and literally murdering, and like you said, it's horrific, beheading people in a church specifically because of their Christian faith. We're able to bring attention to that, what needs to be done to change that, and hopefully we'll see some change happen.
And when you think about the importance of this work as well, you think about what the UN does, how often it goes after Israel and attacks them boldly and openly and issues many reports against them. But there are often times that our work can actually help guide the UN when they decide to go look at something like this. This is a very dire situation for many people. There's a large Christian population there. There is real persecution happening. And many times it's when you're just trying to exist and you're caught up in a multifaceted civil war almost over fighting over mineral rights or power grabs. But the minority population or the populations that are most in danger, in peril, because they are just trying to exist in their country. It's why they get internally displaced, need attention brought to them. Yes. They need the UN to actually look at this. This is where the UN can do some good. And having that status at the UN, at the ACLJ, yes, we've already gone to the European Union, yes, and issued statements there through the ECLJ. And now we have an opportunity to go to the UN and help actually guide, yes, what to look into.
That's right.
To not just say there's violence, go look at it, but actually through our partners in region,
right,
and say these are very specific things. These are people suffering that you should go and be paying attention to.
Absolutely. And we already wrote letters. We've already brought this to the attention of the UN, but this is a specific instance where the Special Rapporteur on IDPs is actually doing an in-country visit. And so we are able to give her specific things to address and specific things to address in her report. And like I said, there's a lot going on in the Congo. There's 100 different militias. There, the Rwanda's rebels that are M23 came in and they killed 7,000 people and displaced about 500,000 just then since the beginning of January. So there's a lot going on. And what we're able to do is say, don't just get caught up on the general aspects of the IDPs. Yes, that's very important. And we do point out specific recommendations for that. But also you have to remember that ISIS, ADF from Uganda is called ADF there, ISIS is literally murdering Christians horrifically and just did so in February, killing 70 Christians in a church, beheading them, older people, babies. It's terrible. It's horrific. And so we don't want that to be bypassed. We want to make sure that the Special Rapporteur is focusing on that specifically as well.
Yeah, we hope that is something you guys can listen to and understand, that this is how the ACLJ can get involved in different ways, because it's very hard to hear these stories and not feel like, or even feel like you can't do anything about it, that you can't react. But thankfully, because of your support and ACLJ members, because you have showed that this is an issue you really do care about, and I'm looking at the comments right now and I'm even seeing the numbers rise right now, that you care about it, we're able to then put more resources towards something like this and get creative. I think that's one of the things that makes the ACLJ a bit different than some of the other organizations, is we're very nimble. If we need to get involved in some topic, whether that's in the media, whether that's in the law, whether that's around the world, we actually have the ability to shift, to move, to get creative. We are not, you know, hamstrung by a lot of red tape in that sense. Obviously, there are rules and regulations for the organization, but we can deploy a team to get involved in all these different places.
Absolutely. And we actually have an on-the-ground source. That's what's so great. We're working with a Christian nonprofit there that's able to give us real-time, real numbers, real updates, and we're able to pass that through to the Special Rapporteur and even suggest that they meet with our on-the-ground contacts when they're there, so that this issue, especially with the targeting of Christians by ISIS, ADF, that they can address that and see how that. And we work on the United States side too. So this is not just internationally, but even for the DRC issue, we can work domestically in the United States, and we have our government team doing that as well.
All right. Thank you, CC, so much for joining us. And I hope that gives you a good understanding of what we are doing and how we can continue to impact the world. The ACLJ does incredible work. You know, we want to make sure we cover the news of the day, that you have all the information that you need. But it's important during these Life and Liberty drives, the reason we do these matching months, if you will, where donors unlock their donation to match your donation, is because it makes these kind of moments when we're able to get involved in overseas. Again, this is not cheap to get all of this done. So I encourage you, if you can financially support the work of the ACLJ, over the next 8 days, this is the best time to do it for quite some time. It'll be the end of our Life and Liberty Drive. You won't have to hear me yelling about it for a few months. So I'm going to encourage you to do it right now. Don't wait till the last day. Our legal team is getting involved in all of these issues. When you have, you know, people from the Biden administration, the disinformation czars, going in front of the EU saying, you know, we need to not trust America, And then you also have on the other hand Christians being attacked overseas. You really can kind of put into perspective of what's important. So I encourage you to scan that QR code right now, as there's only 8 days left to have your gifts doubled. I encourage you to do it. Give whatever you can. It's appreciated, whether that's $5 or $5,000. Know that we love it. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. We really want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news. And look, I'll be honest, Rick Rennell is going to be joining us in the next segment. But unfortunately, as you may know, he's a busy man. And sometimes things come up. Sometimes there are things we can talk about. Sometimes things we can't. But you know what? Right now, so we have a segment that we usually, you know, have a guest. We don't have a guest right now. So that guest should be you. Give me a call. What's on your mind? 1-800-684-3110. It could be about this conversation we've had earlier about Nina Jankowicz. It could be about any of the topics that we've been hitting over the last few weeks. Give us a call. This is a good time to do it. We don't usually do an open line Tuesday. Is this Wednesday? Thursday.
Today is Wednesday.
Wednesday?
It's yes, Wednesday. It is. It is definitely not Thursday. Could be Tuesday. Probably Wednesday.
I'm going to go with Wednesday. I'm going to think it's Wednesday.
You
and
are
we are
correct.
Live, by the way. That sounds like we're pre-recorded. We're live because I want to take your calls. I'll prove it to you. Let's go to Rob, who's calling on line one. Rob, real quick. Hey, man, what's your question or comment today?
Well, my comment is that when I hear these people talk about democracy, they forget that democracy doesn't mean the party of the common man. It means mob rule. The men who wrote the Constitution looked to the Ten Commandments as a template for the Constitution. And I'm a Heinz 57. I'm a kind of a mutt person. I have European ancestry all over the place, but I also have some Mohawk ancestry. And I'm glad my Mohawk ancestors were in New York, not south of the Mason-Dixon line, because one of the founders of the Democratic Party, Andrew Jackson, was the one that authored the Trail of Tears. Sure, he killed thousands of them.
And from where we're broadcasting.
Right. And Rob, to your point, yes, you know, we are a constitutional republic. We have divisions within. There's a bicameral legislature. There's the Senate and the House. Then we have the judicial branch and the executive branch. And the judicial branch is not elected. It's a very complex system, but was a brilliant system put up by the founders to protect the nation. And especially when you hear about them wanting to defend democracy, but yet they are saying, we're not a democracy, we're an autocracy now. That's what Nina Jankowicz is saying. I don't know, to some degree, and I don't know where she lies on this issue, but it almost seems that many on the left think of our constitutional system as autocratic, because they want pure democracy. And pure democracy gets you what you see in the Arab Spring, where all of a sudden they overthrow an autocrat, an actual autocrat in Egypt, a strong man, leader there, and you end up with the Muslim Brotherhood, radical jihadist group that is who takes over when you have mob rule and a pure democracy. That's why there's divisions of power, separation of power, why the legislative branch legislates and the executive branch carries out the law. And as well, they have they are the commander in chief of the military, the executive is, but Congress declares war. There is so many divisions within the power structure of the United States, so that it is not pure democracy where the mob rule, single party takeover, and there is no way that even a minority voice can be heard. The fact that the left is able to be so vocal shows you that our system works, that there are the protections within our government that they are trying to say are slipping away, is a fantasy by them, because our structure is so strong, as well as why you see that President Trump isn't passing every single thing he wants legislatively at will on day one, because there is still a division of power. And that's what makes our system great. Right. So I don't like when they call it an autocracy.
I know you don't like that word.
I know. Not a fan.
Do you like that word? Give me a call. 1-800-684-3110. We are taking as many calls as we can. We got three lines still open. This is a perfect time to call in, have your voice heard on the air today. I've told the phone screeners to loosen it up a little. Still no profanity. Don't say anything on the air you're going to get in trouble for. But if we want to take some comments and questions that are a little off topic, totally fine with that. Let's roll with it. 1-800-684-3110. Again, going to take as many calls as we can. Maybe we can do 20 calls. 20 calls in 20 minutes. You think we can do it? I think we can do it. We'll count them down. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. Like I said, we're going to take some of your calls and comments. Stay on hold if you're on hold, because we will get to you. It's just going to take a minute for our phone screener, because look, when I do a big pitch, all of a sudden, tons of you call in, and we try to get to as many as possible. There's a call coming in from Jim in Texas about Nina Jankowicz. Let's go ahead and take that call. Jim, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, gentlemen. And in addition to funding, I pray for you guys every day.
Thank you so
for
much.
All the good work.
Know how
do.
Much we appreciate it.
So my question is really two-part. Is in terms of her positioning and with the EU being, we could call it a foreign government, how is that, or is there any legality in terms of what she's doing with the U.S. government, in terms of she's petitioning a foreign government against the U.S.? And then what's the political part of the EU letting her speak?
So, again, the question that keeps coming around and around, which is this, why is this happening and how?
Yeah, well, you know, the European Parliament can invite experts. I mean, she has high degrees. She has what she was picked because she was an expert on disinformation, whether or not that is something that experts can be in. But that is where her qualifications came from. So, and then she's worked with the United Kingdom. She's worked with now the European Union. They've asked her to come testify. The United States can have people that are from organizations that come testify before Congress. There's no issue there. It's offensive and troubling that she is calling us an autocracy, but we do believe in the First Amendment. Unlike many of the people on the left, including people that want a disinformation government board, we believe in the First Amendment and freedom of speech and not criminalizing speech. And I don't know that there is anything that she said that would cross the line into foreign policy or trying to direct saying this is the policy of the right. United States. She's giving her opinions, are, I think, not great. I do not like them, and I think it is offensive, and she should not be doing it. But I also, we advocate for the First Amendment here. We advocate for people's rights to say something. What she said was, you know, she didn't like things that were awful but lawful. We understand that awful speech is necessarily protected by the First Amendment. Because the First Amendment isn't there to protect speech you like. It's to protect speech you don't like. So I think it would be even a mistake to try to see like a legal pathway against someone like this. I think the solution is more speech. Yep. Talking about
what
she is saying and saying, this is awful. This shouldn't be someone that if there is another Democrat administration in the future, in 4 years, say, that is brought back into the fold because they like what she says, condemning the current administration as autocrats and saying things that like the U.S. president is working with oligarchs and that they're actually helping Russia, China, and Iran. I think we should play that. This is another one from this same hearing. This is bite one where she's trying to go the typical leftist line of, you know, the tech executives, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, all of these people are now trying to use this administration to enrich themselves. So let's go ahead and play that because this, once again, we are just pointing out her speech that we think is wrong and offensive and shouldn't be someone that is brought into a spotlight as a position of expertise in America anymore. But she is free to say it. Let's play bite one.
Their executives, some of the richest men in the world, have aligned and ingratiated themselves with some Western leaders, including the U.S. president, not for the good of representative democracy, but for their personal enrichment. Anti-democratic regimes in Russia, China, Iran, and elsewhere are taking advantage of this environment, launching interference campaigns that aim to undermine the democratic process with little pushback. And homegrown anti-democratic forces have launched a coordinated campaign to undermine researchers, journalists, advocates, and civil servants who work to expose their lies.
So she's even talking about this, one, that the anti-democratic regimes of Russia, China, and Iran are taking advantage of this environment. You know, the president has been very tough on China, very tough on Iran. Saying that if you don't come to the negotiating table, there will be military action against you. In the way that she's making this seem is that the tech executives, maybe Elon Musk working with Doge and things of this, and Mark Zuckerberg being now more friendly to the administration, is somehow creating an environment where they can exploit this because the tech oligarchs are just trying to get rich and the real bad actors are going to exploit this. And then she talks about this homegrown anti-democratic forces that have launched a coordinated campaign to undermine researchers, journalists, advocates, and civil servants whose work to expose their lies. That is making it seem like the people that are being eliminated by Doge are just working to expose the lies of tech giants and or foreign nationals, the foreign nations that are adversaries. It the whole thing just doesn't really make a ton of sense, except for it's trying to force every liberal talking point to fit her line of disinformation is the greatest evil on the planet.
Yeah, and when you look at what she's had to say for the last few years, it shouldn't be shocking that this is happening. But what is shocking is that this is what's happening on a global scale, that people are going over and saying, you know what, America, they are just full of disinformation, misinformation. They're and the conservatives are the problem. You know, I think her website says what, like banned from the right, you know, or something like that. The far right hates me. Well, that's a real good representation of the world. No one hates, you know, we don't hate. That's not how it works here. But also, look at what's happening to the people that are trying to take out some of these things. They're trying to eliminate government waste. You know what? You're having their cars, like the Teslas, being destroyed and keyed and burned. That's what's happening. And who's that coming from? What side here? What side is actually doing it? Her website says she was demonized by the American right and banned by Putin's Russia, and she is undeterred. Well, you know what? Demonized by the American right, maybe there's a reason, because you're actually saying the things that should get you a bit ostracized. You have the right to say them. But when you start going after your own country this way, especially on European soil, it should change a little bit of your perspective on who's going to like you and who's going to not like you.
Well, and when you hear things like from Jamie Raskin, who said, warned, put people on notice in European countries, allies, that if you make deals with this president, you'll be punished when we're in power. And I hear her calling out the current administration. And I know that she was a part of the last administration for a very brief period. But I didn't hear this kind of criticism of like Democrats in Congress that would say something like that. And that's not like a new thing that all of a sudden they're saying things that sound very aggressive like that. And they've been doing it the whole time, especially during the presidential election. And if you're not equally calling out people that like Jamie Raskin, that's a very autocratic thing. Like, hey, if you make a deal with the United States right now, when we're in power, we're going to punish you. That's the kind of thing they say that is so bad about President Trump. But yet a Democrat in Congress, why isn't that being highlighted? Like, even members of Congress that are Democrats are saying things that could be perceived as autocratic, and that could lead to, and she says polarization and things of that nature. But really, it always seems to be the criticism of the right and not the political left in the United States. And therefore, that isn't really a fair analysis from a so-called expert going to Europe.
I want to go to James in Wisconsin, who's watching on the Salem News Channel. James, go ahead.
A little off topic. I just thought it was kind of ironic that the party, who as long as I can remember has been kind of hostile to the First Amendment, civil liberties really in general, now that they're not in power, are kind of running to the Constitution to protect themselves.
Yeah, we've heard constitutional crisis how many times? So much so they honestly had to stop saying it because it became a branding nightmare.
Well, and to me, a true constitutional crisis was something like the Disinformation Governance Board, where you're all of a sudden putting in, whether they're just making recommendations or they actually are policing, I don't think that that really mattered. The fact that the Department of Homeland Security, an organization that was actually criticized by the left for a long time as something that was born out of 9/11 and that had too much power and made us too much of a police state, but that they were then using it to use a disinformation governance board, providing the recommendations on whether they did it or Homeland Security did it, there was going to be some policing of speech going on. That, to me, is more of a constitutional crisis than anything else that they've been talking about.
All right, we get back. We're going to take as many calls as we can. Phone lines right now are, well, I was going to say completely jammed. One just opened up. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today as we are wrapping up this show and wrapping up our Life and Liberty Drive. There's only 8 days left to have your gifts doubled. Throw that QR code up on the screen. There it is. Scan the QR code right now. I'm going to encourage you to do that. Our legal team has been hard at work. You heard about this, what's going on, obviously, in Europe. We filed 7 vital briefs in 5 different federal courts to fight back. We are also fighting back through dozens of FOIAs against the deep state. We're working with contacts on the ground to engage Congress in addressing all the atrocities happening in the Congo. You can get involved in all of these right now by going to ACLJ.org, donating online, scan the QR code, download the app, do what you can to get involved. All right, 2 lines are still open. 1-800-684-3110. This has got to be your last chance to call in to get on the air. A lot of you are calling in right now. A lot of talk. Let's go to Habib, who's calling in Virginia. On line 5, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. What's going on?
Hey, go ahead with your comment. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's kind of crazy. I live in Arlington, Virginia, and if you know the political climate in Washington, D.C., if you're anything but a Democrat, I mean, better keep it to yourself. But basically, all I wanted to talk to you guys today was like this common theme I'm seeing in the news from MSNBC to CNN. Everyone's talking about this thing called a common truth and common understanding. And it's kind of weird that as someone who found themselves to be like centrist their whole life, I don't understand where the media decided to pick for us that we're all Democrat. Or just the other day on one of those two sides, it was just yesterday, I was reading that they have two objectives now that now that Trump is in office. Their first one is to go ahead and find out what the Democrats' new lane is, and only secondary is covering what's in the White House. The question is, like, at what point are Americans going to put a foot down and just say we at best need to be centered, if not right? And at what point are we going to stop letting the media speak for us? We saw what they did when they were hiding what Joe Biden was doing in the White House, and now they're trying to spin the finger around. But I just don't understand. At what point did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been happening really since the formation of media. It's just become much more biased publicly. I mean, look at even your like late night talk shows. The assumption is that the audience is on the left. And they have done that to themselves by making the content for them. That is what's happening right now in the media landscape in general. They have their point of view and their vision. By the way, if anything breaks out in the sort of conservative Christian world, a lot of times they do whatever they can to stomp on it. Though these are big businesses that want to make money. Ultimately, though, a lot of them have had bias and mission. A lot of them have lost a lot of money because of it.
Well, and you even think about the party itself, the Democrat Party, is in this reforming, trying to figure out who they are after the loss in November. And Jim Clyburn was in that. He's the Democrat congressman from South Carolina. He is the one who kind of revived Biden's presidential campaign and effectively got him elected by helping him win the primary in South Carolina. He was talking to MSNBC, and the host was asking, like, you know, what is the message going forward? Do you have a lot of growing to do as a party? And he said, I think the message coming from the Democratic Party is a good message. The problem we've got, I'll say, is we have to depend on the media to deliver it. There's so many admissions within that is one that, like, we work together and you're not holding up your end of the bargain. You're questioning us. You're supposed to deliver our message. But also just the fact that they think their message is winning right now, that when you have callers like the one we're currently talking to, they're saying, I have always considered myself kind of moderate.
Yeah.
But when you start hearing the media talk about we're all Democrats, we have this collective truth, that pushes people further away. And they realize, I don't want to be associated with this kind of media cabal.
It really is un-American to do that. So thank you for your calling, Habib. Appreciate it. Let's continue on, take some more. Let's go to Gene, who's calling in Wisconsin. Gene on YouTube. Gene, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having me. One of the comments, well, I have a comment and question. My first of all, I want to know why we don't see more arrests being made from the left or on the left to them because of all of the laws that they've broken and continue to break, you know, from the fires in the cities and the Tesla cars and all that, all the way up to those in Congress and above that have broken the law. And it's, you know, not opinion stuff, but they've actually broken the law, sold our country out. And I really think that with younger people, we need to really start putting out there what the difference is between a Democrat and a Republican.
Yeah, it is happening, Gene. I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to make sure we get enough time to get enough callers in. There are a lot of people who are doing that. There's a lot of people reaching young people. We're seeing a big rise in Christianity. We're seeing a big rise in conservatism happening for people that are kind of high school aged right now. And there's a reason for that. They're rejecting what they're seeing in the media. They're rejecting what they're seeing in their social media feeds. It's happening, Gene. When you say about breaking the laws, though, and why people were vandalizing Tesla dealerships or, I don't know, petty crime that's happening in these cities, a lot of police force has been dismantled to be able to do their job.
Well, you even look at Minneapolis, which was a city that had large issues with kind of the BLM protest and the violence that went forward from that, and not a lot happened as far as the people that caused real damage to the cities. Well, they're now talking about this individual who was a wall staffer accused of vandalizing Teslas, up to $20,000 in damage, that the Minnesota in Minneapolis, they're talking about not filing criminal charges against him.
Throwing it out.
That it's going to be diversion charges. Basically, you know, go to meet with your parole officer and go to some sort of counseling and things of that nature. And that's the problem. And these are many liberal cities that don't end up holding people accountable, especially when there is political violence.
Yeah,
is political violence.
That's what's happening, Gene, is there's just a police force that's not able to do their jobs anymore. And it's really unfortunate. Especially in some of these cities that are some of my favorite cities. You mentioned, you know, these are big American hubs. They need to be protected. You need to be able to feel comfortable shopping, walking down the street, doing all these things there. But you can't. And look, it's happening even here a little bit in our city as well. Let's go ahead and continue on and take some more phone calls. Let's go to Butch in New Jersey. Butch, you're on the air watching on YouTube.
Hey, Logan. How y'all doing?
Hey, good.
Just got a lighthearted comment to add to the situation. I saw the videos that y'all put up of that lady representing our country.
Yes.
Best thing she could do to serve this country is get out of politics, get out of government, and go audition to be a Disney character. This is ridiculous.
Butch, thank you for calling. And look, I don't call out one of our producers may or may not be a friend of former friend or whatever of one of those Disney characters. So you know what?
When Logan says former friend of, that is Disney talk.
Yeah.
Where the person was the character.
Don't say that.
But they're
the
not
magic.
Allowed to say it. So they say, sorry.
Butch, very funny though. Thank you for calling in. Ron, you're going to be the last call of the day in Texas. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Thank you for taking my call and God bless you guys for what you're doing.
Thank you.
I have a real issue of the judiciary stopping the president's agenda. It looks like the judges have decided that they're going to run the country now, and rather than this being a
Ron, I think we've opened up a lot of eyes to really how the judicial system works, and that this is something that goes on. It doesn't go on as much, of course, but because it's President Trump, it's happening a lot. We've talked ad nauseum about this. quite a bit.
And he also asked, where is Congress? Currently, they're on recess, the Easter break, but they did pass a...
My favorite subject in school. Hey, all right, we got to wrap up. Let me just tell you.
They passed the bill.
They passed the bill. What bill?
To limit the use of national injunctions. And so that would be going to the Senate when they get back from recess.
There you go. When I get back from recess, I usually scan a QR code and I go to ACLJ.org and I support the work of what's going on right now. Throw up that QR code. It's not that I want you to see my pretty face. Of course I do. But right now I need you to make a donation at ACLJ.org. Support the work. We only got a few days left in our Life and Liberty Drive and the gifts are doubled right now. That means there's incredible ACLJ members, ACLJ champions, ready to unlock their donation of any kind. You give $5, becomes $10. You give $5,000, becomes $10,000. Talk to you tomorrow.